Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, we'll watch it all fall apart this week on a show about decay. Phil Proctor and Jamie Alcroft return with their Boomers on a Bench, and we'll hear songs from Art Padel, Jaden LaRue, and Josh Quadro.
Whoa. Okay, hold on, Julie. Just wait one second. I think it's coming to me now. I'm having an epiphany. I think, therefore, I am.
You think?
I'm thinking so.
You are?
Yeah, because I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, you are too, then.
I am.
I think.
I know, but what about me?
Okay, close your eyes.
All right.
What are you thinking?
Nothing.
All right, well, try this. Does that worry you?
Yeah.
Well, then you're conscious, you're thinking, therefore you're R-ing.
Oh, thank God.
Well, whatever floats your boat.
I have a boat?
From the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
Hey, thank you, folks. Now on the other microphone, she's doomed to a lifetime of following me around and picking up the pieces, Julie Van Dusen. Decay, aging, obsolescence, entropy, an apple, your body, the universe, the inevitable direction of all things, decay. The apple rots, time marches on, we all get old, right? You can stand with your back against the world, and you can push as hard as you want, but it's going to turn anyway. At the very core of all things, the smallest things, inside everything, the particles slowly unwind. One minute you're taking your first step, and the next minute you're lifting your chin waddle up so it doesn't dangle in the soup. No, I'm not a pessimist. The glass isn't half full. It's just insignificant in the ungraspable hugeness of it all. I digress. Even this intro's deteriorating.
Wave your rattlesnake, shake your cage. Kick and scream it from the cradle to the grave. Hush your baby now, count the years. Fade away with me, sing it as it all disappears.
Yeah, really, when you get down to it, though, none of us are really all that concerned with the universe. I mean, too much, right? I haven't seen any Save the Universe marches or a space carbon tax or anything like that, no. No, mostly we're just running around down here on Earth, wrinkling. It's kind of necessary, though. At least as it stands on this planet. There's only so much room, and well, you gotta get yourself down in that dirt and make room for all those babies, right? It's only a short spurt up from the cradle to the downhill life slalom. You just gotta, you know, hang on tight and keep your face from falling off, like a Shar-Pei out a car window. Some people fight it, though. You know, there's neighborhoods in Los Angeles where you can judge a lady's age like you do the rings on a tree. You count the rings, right? You count the decades by the facelift lines behind the ear. I don't blame them, really, you know, trying to keep up, trying to keep down, I guess. You know? There's a similar method of dating men, too. The belt line, it moves up the waist, you know, higher and higher the older you get. The oldest among us are just a face, you know, sticking out from a pair of slacks. It might be nice to wrinkle up, though. There's all kinds of flaps you can hide stuff. You could go out in a blaze of glory in a rascal scooter chase. It'd be boring to live forever anyway. You know? Don't fight it. Just hike up your pants all the way to your chest and shake your cane and turn to dust, you old so-and-so.
Wave your rattlesnake, shake your canes. Kick and scream it from the cradle to the grave. Hush your baby now. Count the years, fade away with me, singing as it all disappears.
I know for certain that our society is crumbling. You can measure it in crazy Facebook posts. You know we're in trouble when absolutely everybody's wrong. I don't exclude myself from that. You know, as a voice on your radio, I'm sure I could get away with blaming the Russians for it. Heck, they're even responsible for the flimsiness of this whole monologue premise, right? As an official member of the mainstream media, I use them for a catch-all, you know, everywhere in life. You know, election hacking, Russia, Dow Jones goes down, Russia, stub my toe, Russia. I think we might be going down swinging, really. It's just us, you know, going down swinging, just wildly flailing around to stave off the inevitable thud. It happens to the best of them, you know, all the big empires. They don't catastrophically vanish, typically. No, they kind of, you know, crumble, like particles and people. They slowly wither away. The Mongols, the Ottomans, the Soviet Union, right? Russia's still there. It didn't disappear, or we wouldn't have anybody to blame. You know? It kind of ebbed back a few steps. It came apart, creepered back into the bushes, missing a few limbs. And we all celebrated. We won, we won, we won. But I'm starting to think we didn't win the Cold War. No, it was more of a slow tie.
Wave your rattles and shake your canes. Kick it screaming from the cradle to the grave. Hush your baby now. Count the years, fade away with me, singing as it all disappears.
All time is marked by it. The arrow is drawn in it, disorder, entropy. And when you zoom out like that, you take a step outside yourself, and you quiver in the big old cold emptiness of your eventual non-existence. If everything I ever did, heck, if everything we all ever did is just going to turn to dust anyway, well, why even ever do any of it in the first place?
Oh, river, oh, carry me on. Slow.
It's not futile. It's not for nothing. The point is to do it. You know, to do it while you're doing it. Really, you're just a talking monkey with big ideas. So, you know, just take a seat on the world with a big goofy smile, eat some good food, get a little action once in a while, find a good spot in a tree, and watch it all fall apart. So we're going to spiral into the abyss this week, see if we can't, you know, mark time with an hour of good old-fashioned decay. Stick around. It's gonna happen anyway.
Wave your rattles and shake your cage. Kick and screaming from the cradle to the grave. Hush your baby now. Count the years. Fade away with me, singing as it all disappears.
The Halifax Gazette began publishing in 1752 as Canada's first newspaper. Here to ruin the long tradition of Canadian journalistic integrity, J.P. Houston sings the news.
Well, 1990s basketball star Dennis Rodman is back in the news. He's returning to North Korea to visit his good friend Kim Jong-un and see if he can't, you know, straighten the whole situation out. Here's a song that I wrote from Dennis to his good pal.
My funny little buddy, we pal around, globe-trotting hot spots, nights on the town. Well, he lets me spend his money, ain't nobody loves me like my funny little buddy. My little friend, his papa was the man. Junior just got stuck with daddy's plan. And it may sound funny, he don't wanna hurt nobody. My funny little buddy ain't so bad. He may come running, puffing up his chest. He may stomp his feet a little, but that funny little bugger is the best. Yes. My little friend, come on, give him half the chance. One chance, two chance, well, three if you can. And then we'll see you down in South Korea where my funny little buddy drops the bomb.
And as always, we are bound to offend someone out there listening this week. So if you do take issue with something on the program, you can reach out to me directly on Twitter at TheJPHouston. You never know, you just might get a response on the air. Now, our next guest is a talented singer-songwriter from Los Angeles, California. Ladies and gentlemen, Jaden LaRue.
Lately, I don't know who I am. Can't help but feeling at a crossroad. I have my heart and my song, but tonight I feel so, so alone. Oh, if I just hit the road in search of my soul under the starry skies, escaping all the lies, but somewhere along the way everything falls into its right place, and offer up a welcoming embrace. I'm desperate for a change of scene. My thoughts are muddled up with debris. I crave the inspiration uncertainty brings. So I'm getting on the road across the country. I'm gonna find my heart on the way to Tennessee. Oh, if I just hit the road in search of my soul under the starry skies, escaping all the lies, would somewhere along the way everything fall into its right place, and offer up a welcoming embrace.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. This place looks pretty good. Lots of new stuff. Bright white lights.
If you need anything, you can ask one of our geniuses.
Geniuses?
Our sales reps are geniuses.
So why are they working in retail?
Because the cis white males are threatened by my gender studies degree.
Oh, so you're a genius then?
Obviously.
Well, maybe you can help me out.
What are you looking for?
Well, my phone's getting kind of old.
What do you have? You have the 3?
I don't know. It's black. Whatever this is.
Is that an antenna?
It's kind of old.
Kind of.
Just tell me what I should buy.
Well, the 6 just came in.
The 6?
Yeah, totally blows a 5 away.
Sounds expensive. What if I stick with a 5?
No, they don't make those anymore.
So I have to get the 6.
Well, you could get the 5B, but I wouldn't.
The B?
Yeah, it's after the 5.
Well, what can the 6 do that the 5B can't?
The 6 has Cindy.
Cindy?
AI.
Well, what's AI?
When are you from?
I don't keep up with this stuff. Just fill me
AI
in.
AI is artificial intelligence.
So it's not smart.
No, it's smart. It's just non-human.
So it's really intelligent.
Yes, artificially.
All right, so it's smart.
Yes.
Show me how it works then.
Cindy, why are you better than the 5B?
And what's it doing there?
It's crashing.
Why?
Because the 7 just came in.
So the 6 crashes.
Well, it isn't rated for the software update.
Look, I'll just get a 5B then.
No, we don't sell those anymore.
All right, fine. The 6 then.
The 6C.
Well, what happened to the 6B?
It didn't have iTrack.
What's iTrack?
Yeah, the 6C has iTrack.
Well, what does that do?
Tracks your eyes and learns what you like to see.
Well, that sounds intrusive.
Then you'll want the 7.
Why?
Because you can turn it off on the 7.
So why don't they just buy the 6B before they added iTrack?
Because we just stopped selling it.
When?
Just now when the 8 came in.
And the 8's better.
It's got a mustache filter.
No, don't put the Hitler mustache on.
No, that's Chaplin.
It looks like a Hitler.
Well, you'll want the 9 then.
The 9's already
in. It's got hats.
Hats?
Yeah, it makes the Chaplin more obvious.
I don't need filters, hats, whatever.
It's your money.
Look, why don't I just get the 10?
You can't.
Why?
Because it's not out yet.
Well, when does it come out?
Now.
All right, start ringing me up.
Okay.
And just when you're about to hit enter, change the 10 to an 11.
Good plan.
Go.
And here's your 5C.
Wait a second, I thought I bought an 11.
Yeah, 6 through 11 were recalled for exploding batteries.
So I'm all set with the 5C then?
Oh, yeah, sure. You'll be good to, like, the end of the block.
Okay, I'm going to start walking, then I'm going to turn around, I'll call ahead and reserve the next one.
Not on that thing you won't.
Because?
Because the recall just came in.
Exploding batteries.
Uh-huh. Duck.
We're excited to have our next guest with us on the program, a great folk singer from the original Greenwich scene of the 1950s and 60s. Ladies and gentlemen, Art Podell.
This song has a little bit of history. I got to give it to you. I used to write songs with a fellow by the name of Walter Shore, brilliant lyricist. We wrote songs for the Smothers Brothers. They're on the Smothers Brothers albums, Glenn Yarbrough, all of those ancient recording artists. We just had a wonderful career. And we just finished a song last week, which is remarkable because Walter died in 2004, I think. Remarkable because we did really finish it. Walter would call me up in the middle of the night, and he would divulge, I mean, incredible poetry to me that was totally absent from his brain in the morning, and you can only imagine what he was doing when he called me, and I would say somewhere around 1965 he called me with this song. With this verse, and it just stuck in my brain, and I just couldn't make head or tail out of it. Never could. And we finished it last week. Telephone ringing in the middle of the night. I could almost smell the whiskey on his breath. I knew who it was, so I sat upright. I suspected either Dylan or Macbeth. You see, the call was not unusual at all. I knew who it was the moment that he rang. See, Walter was my buddy, my partner, my pal. He said, "Listen to this, it's all I got." Then he sang. Walking down the road is a one-eyed mule named Sam. Walking with the mule is a man, that's what I am. Now I am a man, Sam is a mule. Each of us suspecting that the other one's a fool. Ain't that the fix that we're in? Walking down the road, walking down the road. I said, "Walter, don't you hang up the phone just yet. I got no idea what the song you just sang means." He said, "What is it about it that you don't get? You know, my words don't always mean what they seem." Then he laughed a laugh and the telephone went dead. I was alone with a piece of paper in my hand. But see, I had written down every word he said. So I sang this song that I still don't understand. Walking down the road is a one-eyed mule named Sam. Walking with a mule is a man. That's what I am. Now I am a man. Sam is a mule. Each of us suspecting that the other one's a fool. Ain't that the fix that we're in? Walking down the road. Walking down the road. Now there may be magic in a word. A word might hold a hidden clue. Secrets abide in things absurd. Secrets known only by a few. Walter and I had the best of times. We wrote a lot of songs. We even made some cash. We walked the long, long road of the nickel dime. Walter walked it to the last. Now sometimes in the middle of the night, I can almost hear that ringing telephone. Then in the morning when the coffee's just right, I sing the words to an old friend's song. Walking down the road is a one-eyed mule named Sam. Walking with a mule is a man. That's what I am. Now I am a man. And Sam is a mule. Each of us suspecting that the other one's a fool. Ain't that the fix that we're in? Walking down the road. Walking down the road. Walking down the road.
The eyes wondered wide as pictures they flew through the air and down the metal rod, into the fat box set, onto the screen, and then out the other side forever. And in the cinemas, little seats smoking in the back, celluloid on reels. In the cinemas, the show played until the tickets wouldn't sell anymore, and then the movie vanished. An arcade game had a steel ball that rolled around and flippers with a space too wide in between them, and the bad teenage mustaches would wince as they slapped away at the buttons until their pockets were empty, and that last ball cleared the space between the paddles and fell in the hole. Well, there I lay on the floor as the world changed above, my little eyes blurry and baby-sized, and big brother Dave, 10 years older, and 1,000 feet taller, he's standing in front of the TV there, turning from side to side, some kind of controller in his hands. And there's a wire out onto the box on the floor. It was so new that, well, he thought he had to turn at the waist to make it go on the screen. And well, all that tech, that whole big plastic box there, all those wires, all that excitement was just to make a single greenish-white dot, blipping back and forth on the screen. Digital ping-pong. Class-skipping kids, they hookied down at the high-five arcade. Even at the bottom of the exponential curve there, in the early days, it was starting to move fast. 10 years passed, and the white dot grew legs, and lasers and wheels, and sideways scrollers, 2D, 8-bit, 25 cents a play, and a million square-eyed punks popping their jean jacket collars to beat the final boss and fantasize of a heroic celebration around the arcade there, while the older kids sold pot in the back. As a first-generation square-eyed media kid, I mapped it all. I knew what was out and what was coming and how to catch it, right? I'd try to remember every little video millisecond, draw pictures to recall it all, act out the best scenes again. Now, on the television, you were lucky if you got to see a rerun play again in the summer. Once it was gone, it was gone. And then, My dad walked in, you know, hot summer after work, through the back sliding glass doors there into the living room addition, a big fat cardboard mystery under his arm. Thunk down on top of the TV there, climbing around, opening it up, patching it all in. He presses the big black power button on top, and then, well, it pops open. And his pneumatic hisses and gears, and then he slides in a plastic cassette, and he presses down on the top loader, and a movie starts to play. What a movie starts to play, and rewind it again, and play it, and record. You can record the television. You can watch whatever you want, you know, over and over and over again. Baby boomer eggheads were changing into white slacks and, you know, white blazers, big fat wallets all over the country. Any young man with a nerd beard and a knack for circuit boards, he won the lifetiming lottery. As the machines, they shrunk from the, you know, those building-sized reel-to-reel eaters down to fridge big tape deck caskets and then even portable hunks of 10-pound stuff. Well, they cashed in and they sold it straight, no chaser, to a future-crazed kid world. You know, there was this one kid up the block. He suddenly got, you know, polo shirt rich when his dad scored the Canadian distribution rights for the Speak and Spell. The Speak and Spell, it was a red plastic rectangle with a little sliver of a light display on top and a big fat keyboard pad on the front. And a robot voice would read the word, and then, well, you had to spell it and try and type it on the pad. Well, that's what the intention was, but I spent all my time trying to trick it into swearing. The programmers were ahead of me, though, and they prevented the letter U from ever being spoken immediately following the letter F. Dad attempted to top the VCR miracle with another futuristic mystery package one day. Japanese writing on the side. The Japanese were light years ahead. This is going to be good, right? He places it carefully on the floor. He zips it open with the side of his key, pops open the box. My eyes widen. I see wires inside. That's a good start. Styrofoam bumpers. Oh, come on, hurry up. Get plastic bag. Let's go. Come on, a bubble wrap. Okay, a couple of minutes popping the bubble wrap, and then back to the action. Open that box, and then there it was. An 80s beige, heavy-grade plastic slab, a brown keypad on the front. The Atari 400, 400 megabytes of raw computing power. All you'll ever need. To do what? What does it do? To do what? Well, nothing yet, it just came out. Here. And Dad tosses a magazine down, a Computer Nerd Quarterly or something. Reviews, ads, well, let's see. Flip through, no, just lines and lines of codes and lessons and code and lessons and page after page of boring code. Start typing, he says. To make it do anything, you're going to have to type it in. Line by hellish line. He upped the ante. Now, if you want to play something, you're going to have to learn how it works. Build your own game. Like a teach your kid to fish type approach, I guess. Write what you understand, they say. Ice cream wasn't really programmable, so hockey. All right, hockey. There has to be a way to cram all these strings of text together and spit out, you know, some kind of good old-fashioned game of pixel hockey, right? So I get to work. I start typing. If line one is X, then go to line seven. How do I make it stop? I don't line seven. Hours and hours. Run it a couple of blips and back to the drawing board. Line after line after line. And then Mom would shout, bedtime! And I ignore her as long as possible until the yardstick came out. Don't worry, she never hit us with the yardstick. It was kind of a corporal punishment vestigial tail left over from her Italian mother. She couldn't use it, but she could wield it, you know. She just held it up, you know, like, or else. We'd all laugh at her and run away, right? I'd save the day's programming onto a cassette tape. It was attached to a cassette tape recorder, and you recorded the lines of code. Go to bed at midnight, blurry eyes. Hours turned into days, line of code after line, after line, after line, and finally, yes, Dad, and now the goalie has a head. Fingers red, eyes blurrier, and then back it up on the tape, and then days turned into weeks. And, ah, the puck, it finally goes left to right, months and months of sprites and commands. I'm going to get rich or something off this game. I better, never mind, I'm going to have the best time playing it for sure. I know that much. And a few more tweaks, and this masterpiece is going to be ready. I hunkered down for a whole hot, long summer day to hammer out the final strings, thousands and thousands of lines, crossed eyes, tired, and, And finally done, I ran out the door down the street to fetch Noah, my buddy, right? And I say, you got to come up. You got to see this. It's going to rule. There's a puck. It's got a goalie and a guy, and you could slap shot all the way back up the street. I'm telling you, you can go, and then I'll go, and then whoever gets the most through the back sliding doors, I'll keep score, too, into the living room. And there's Dad. He's got another cardboard mystery box. All right, out of the way, Dad. I got to show Noah the hockey game. Where's the 400? The 400, he says, no, no, no. Check it out. It's the 800. It's brand new, the 800. 800 megabytes, right? That's twice as much. This game is going to be good. So we'll get out of the way, and I'll load the hockey up on it. I want to show Noah, well, does the 400 code work on the 800? No, absolutely not. And now, drifting on the signals, out from the edges of the shining city skyline, out to the landfill, hundreds of feet dirty deep there under the diapers and the cookie bags and the old couch springs, like geological layers, technological layers, back through time, 50 years in plastic and silicone slices, and all the way down near the bottom, just above the pond, an old 400. With a lingering pixel from the last line of code.
Ebb and flow on the river of time, wax and wane as the decades roll by, hours and hours playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes, I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So, if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air.
Uncertain economic times, inflated home prices, rising oil prices, interest rates. Where do you think inflation is headed over the next 5 years? We believe the time to trade in gold and silver was last year. To secure your nest egg ahead of the coming collapse, invest with NetEx in Bitcoin. Our operators are standing by to transfer your life savings into an imaginary currency preferred by Russian mobsters and weird computer guys. In the last 6 hours alone, Bitcoin has appreciated 7%. Wait, 4, 3, minus 12%. Call now and enjoy our special offer. For every Bitcoin purchased, we'll send you one donkey dollar, redeemable at Jack's Horse Apple Hayride House, which is now more valuable than Bitcoin. NetEx Bitcoin Exchange. Secure your future with the future currency of the future.
And welcome back to American Parlor Songbook here at the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California. Let's head out to the park and visit with our friends Phil Proctor and Jamie Elcroft, our boomers on a bench.
You know, I just don't get it.
Well, you might never. You got to learn to live with it, buddy.
What's the deal with flossing? You know, it says here in the paper that new studies indicate it doesn't really make any difference.
Thank God.
Why do you say that?
Because I've never done it. I chew gum instead.
You chew gum?
Sure. Look, man, I have got pockets between my teeth deep enough to hide a chili dog. Nice. I chew gum because it recycles all the nutrients and the food that gets stuck between my teeth. It's healthy for me.
Well, my point is, How do you know what's good or what's bad for you anymore, you know? Well, every time my wife fixes me a hearty breakfast of bacon, sausage, eggs, white toast slathered in dairy butter, pancakes with real maple syrup, a big mug of coffee with heavy cream and sugar, I wonder.
What, if she's trying to kill you?
Well, she does say we have a marriage to die for.
Oh. What's your point?
Well, she always introduces me as her first husband.
Okay.
Like there's more to come, you know?
Yeah. You know what you need to do? You need to balance all that bad food with some things that are good for you. You should get on that new Neanderthal diet.
The Neanderthal diet. Now, what's new about that, huh?
Yeah.
Right, what is it?
It's pine cones, pebbles, and bugs.
Pine cones, pebbles, and bugs. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Is that what the caveman ate? No wonder they died off.
Yeah, I prefer the Mediterranean diet.
What's that?
Yeah, you drink lots of red wine on a yacht off the coast of Italy. Smoking unfiltered cigarettes. Eating cheese with olive-skinned, extra virgin, topless foreign women.
Ooh.
And drinking lots of red wine.
Throw some pasta in and bite me aboard.
No. No pasta allowed.
What?
Too much gluten.
Gluten? Oh, gosh. What's with that anyway, you know? I just can't get it through my noodle. How can you tell if someone is gluten intolerant?
Don't worry. They'll tell you. God. I dated a vegan once, but I dropped her like a hot pastrami.
So she was a vegan because she loved animals, right?
No. She was a vegan because she hated vegetables.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes a minute.
Yeah, it does. Now, this is scary here. A new study claims that L.A. has one of the longest emergency room wait times in the country.
Yeah, color me surprised.
The average patient waits 7 hours to be admitted and almost 3 hours before being discharged.
You know, they should rename it so What's Your Hurry, Not So Urgent Care Clinic.
Yeah, right.
I spent a week there the other night.
Oh, really? What was the matter?
I don't know. Lately, I've been suffering from early onset rigor mortis.
I don't know what your problem is. I get stiff every weekend.
Really? You still drink? I thought you got that medical marijuana card, didn't you? Oh.
Are you kidding? I got the Acapulco Gold card.
How did you get your card? What'd you tell the doctor?
Well, I explained to him that I have a debilitating condition.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I had no idea. What is it?
Well, if I don't smoke marijuana, I can't get high.
That's awful. He bought that?
Oh, yeah. He said it was the first time he'd heard that one. Yeah, score one for originality.
Okay, all right, listen to this. Last year, in the 17 states that have medical marijuana, doctors prescribed 468 fewer doses of seizure medication, 541 fewer anti-nausea scripts, 564 less anti-anxiety meds, and 1,826 less painkillers.
So pot helps with math skills, huh?
Yeah. Well, it does in 5 out of every 3 users. Well, but seriously, medical marijuana is radically reducing the use of opiates, which, of course, is a gateway drug to methamphetamine.
Yeah, so then weed is no longer a gateway drug?
No, hell no. No, it's a bridge over the troubled moat of meth.
Except there's no water. Yeah. Like a ha-ha.
Uh-huh.
No, actually, I think it's pronounced ha-ha.
There's a correct pronunciation for a laugh?
It's not a laugh. It's a ha-ha.
Okay, now you're messing with my mind.
Well, I think somebody beat me to that. Look. I guess you don't know that a ha-ha is a moat without water.
Huh. Like a concept without an idea, with a pattern without a design, a mystery without a clue. What the hell were we talking about anyway?
Marijuana being an anti-gateway drug and moats without water.
Uh-huh.
No, ha-ha.
Ha-ha, no, ha-ha.
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 Stop that!
Oh my gosh, look at this. Now there's proof Trump has WMDs.
He has weapons of mass destruction?
No, he's using words of mass distortion.
Oh, so he wasn't wiretapped, eh?
No. Turns out Bannon just installed a baby monitor. Yeah, Donnie was pouting about Putin.
Oh, gosh. Well, here's something for us all to pout about. Humpty Trumpty wants to cut funding for the NEA, EPA, PBS, NPR, and Meals on Wheels.
What? That's outrageous!
I know.
Like, if he cuts Meals on Wheels, how's the Domino's guy gonna get me my pizza?
Now you're making me hungry.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, let's go to that floating, topless Italian restaurant and grab...
Don't say it.
A slice!
A slice, yeah. I'll drink to that.
Oh, you'll drink to anything.
Yeah. Red wine.
And olive-skinned women.
Yeah,
on,
they'll be there. They'll be there.
So.
I'll give them a call.
Move it.
Okay.
Jamie Elcroft, Bill Proctor, Boomers on a Bench. We've got just about enough time for one more guest, so why don't we bring him out from Riverside, California. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Quadra.
And so it began. I saw what I needed to see. I'm not where I need to be. I need to be gone. And I'm leaving tonight. First it's rough, so I'll hesitate. Won't stand still, but I'll stay up late, and you'll be here, and we're staying alone. Staying alone means we'll get along. So I thought, but I should have known that I'd be wrong. And all I have is your advice. Years went by. Cooperating minds like you and I. We spent the day making friends and giving up, contemplating whether we're a match. And we'll cover the past using things that we'll find around and all the places we hit the ground. And I'll keep score, and you'll understand. Oh, after I get through telling you, after I get through giving you all I have, and all I want is your advice. Years went by, cooperating minds like you and I. We spent the day making friends and giving up, contemplating whether we're a match.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR and available on PRX.
Wendell.
You can find information about the program on our website,
Wendell. American Parliament. Wendell!
Yes, Mother, what is it?
What is this saggy mess on my legs?
Your knees.
What? Why are my knees on my shins?
Gravity.
Do they do knee lifts?
Just wear stockings, Mother.
Stockings are for prudes.
And prunes. Now, just let me turn out the light.
Oh, I knew it. I'm hideous.
No, so I can sleep.
You can't even bear to be awake.
I'm just tired, dear. You look fine.
Fine? Oh, it's worse than I thought.
Wait, what's wrong with fine?
I have never looked less than spectacular.
What about She-Blob Part 2?
I was the hottest nuclear monster the cinema has ever seen.
I still say it was out of character for the blob to start singing a torch song.
No, that's in all of my contracts. Torch song and a big dramatic monologue for the Oscar reel.
And then, out of nowhere, the blob could suddenly speak.
Misunderstood. Despised by a cruel world.
Here we go.
Lashing out at the tiny people below. They call me a monster. Me, the monster, when they created me by putting the world's sexiest woman in a nuclear reactor. Why? Why, cruel world? When all I ever wanted was love. When all I ever wanted was to be understood and to express myself and to sing, to open my beautiful gelatinous mouth and sing. She-blob crying tears of love.
Oh, now the song, that was Oscar material.
Now you do know how to write a good number if I sing it.
So it's settled then. You look fine and I can write a good number. Good night.
Oh, Wendell. Wendell, let's watch it now. Stay up with me and we'll watch it now.
Martha, I'm sorry to say it, but your masterpiece is lost to the ages.
Nonsense. I saw it at the Beacon. What, it was a year ago.
That was 1968, dear.
Well, what year is it now?
2017.
Good Lord.
Yes, dear. Time flies.
Well, then just fire up the Betamax.
They don't make those anymore.
Fine, Laserdisc.
Obsolete formats aside, Martha, She-Blob Part 2 no longer exists.
What? Well, where did it go?
The Sunshine Canyon landfill.
I'll get the shovel.
I'm afraid you're going to need more than a shovel.
And some duct tape for the guard.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Oh, no, you don't. It's your oeuvre.
Martha, don't shoot the messenger now.
All right, bring me down, downer.
I'm afraid the entire Capricorn Pictures library is lost.
Gone with the wind again?
Dust.
Ballad of Saucy Jane?
Crumbled.
Oh, no, Wendell, please tell me there's still a print of Neanderthal.
Sorry, Martha. Even your turn as a thought-out proto-woman is gone. The vault, you see, was moved to a garage in Castaic, and the celluloid didn't hold up. I'm afraid your entire late period is lost.
It's like I didn't even exist.
Oh, now, don't be melodramatic, Martha. You're right there.
I didn't spend my whole life trying to be somebody only to see it turn to dust and disappear.
Nothing lasts forever, dear. I'm afraid that's just how it goes.
But I want to be remembered.
Uh-huh. I remember you.
Oh, what good does that do me?
Our friends remember you.
A few lousy nobodies.
And a whole generation of moviegoers remember you.
And what happens when they kick the bucket?
Then, just like the rest of us, we return to the universe.
But I want to be a star.
And you will be, one day. See, all that you are, in the grand scheme of things out there, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, all that, back to the earth, right? And then, well, in a few billion years, when the sun swells up and bursts, when even the most famous Einstein, Shakespeare, Greta Garbo, George Clooney, J.P. Morgan, all dust, no money, no memories, no past, everything scattered out, back into the universe. Me and you, together, we'll all be stars.
And I'll live forever?
As bright as the Milky Way.
Well, I guess I can live with that.
And in the meantime, I was going to wait until your birthday, but in the meantime, you can enjoy the work print of Neanderthal I bought at Sotheby's.
Oh, you sneak. Oh, let's watch it now.
All right, dear, tomorrow.
Oh, we'll invite everyone over.
All right, Mother, we have to get some rest first.
Oh, I'll wear the original costume.
Yes, dear.
And I'll do the burlesque from the final act.
Of course, Martha.
Oh, we can film it for the DVD.
Yes, extended cut and everything.
Oh, and Wendell.
Yes, Mother, in the morning.
There's one more thing that I just know will last forever.
Oh, what's that?
My lullaby.
Ah, of course, dear, of course.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. All your fears run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say, though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.